And speaking of Cricket Australia, the chief executive of CA has been good enough to join us ahead of play on day three. So much to talk about. James Sutherland, welcome back to the Macquarie Radio Summer of Cricket Commentary Box. Compliments of the season. And I guess we should start by saying, how satisfied have you been with what you've seen so far that the tourists have dished up?
Oh, thanks, Bruce. Great to be here with you.
Just a nice story.
Thanks for that little half volley to start off with. Yeah. Look, I think it's been pretty disappointing as a contest. I think I saw it in the paper today, 7 for 1,100 runs or something the Australians have scored. So probably they've been below expectations. We knew that that they were up against it. But I think at the same time, you know, it's part of the diversity of international cricket. You see different teams tour here each year, and we look forward to that diversity. And sometimes there are cycles in world cricket. And you've got to take the good with the bad. And I think part of the good here is seeing opportunities for young Australian players to establish themselves as batsmen in the top order. And hopefully that part of that establishment phase just presents us with, I guess, a solidification of a team that will contest very well against South Africa next year, and then when the Ashes come around the year after.
James, thanks for joining us. So the last 15 years, they haven't been great, the West Indies. We know that. And I spoke to you, you know, about this, you know, even just a month or so ago. That just talk to us and our listeners. The Future Tours program, like in retrospect, we would love to have the New Zealanders play now. We play the West Indies in the first three tests. I've got no problem playing the West Indies here in our summer, but to give them our peak times at this current stage is a concern. Hmm. So how does it quickly work at the Future Tours program? It's 4 years out or something, isn't it?
Oh, it's probably more than that. I mean, this cycle's probably 6 years ago. We were penciling in basically the schedule for the year, and I think in retrospect it's easy to think about how you might have done it differently. Hmm. But one of the things about Future Tour programming is that it's not you don't work in isolation. You can't say, okay, well, we'll slot New Zealand in here and West Indies in here without considering all of the other implications of where teams are playing at different times. So it's a bit of a three-dimensional game of chess, because there's a knock-on effect. Everyone, and particularly for us in our summertime, which is different to the English Embers, who really have their own season, but most of the other countries in the world play at this time of year. So it's a very congested time of year. It's very, very difficult to move things around with any sort of flexibility. So, yeah, if we had our time again, Dino, you're absolutely right.
And you've also got that Christmas issue with the likes of South Africa that wants to have Christmas and they want to have their home test series over that Christmas and New Year period, which has got to be difficult to fit them in. So you have them early part of the season. You've got to fit in someone like England or one of the subcontinent countries to come over here in that Christmas period, which may not be ideal if they're weak at the time. Last year it was India. It was fantastic. Good cricket, some good players playing, you know, and I agree with you about the cycles that teams have, and the West Indies are in a very poor state at the moment, but that's not to say in 5 or 6 years' time that two or three quality players come through, and that could turn it around, and every side has two or three good players. Currently, the West Indies are struggling to produce those players. There are one or two good young players in the Caribbean, that I think, having spoken to Clive Lloyd yesterday, that he said could have been picked, but he felt they just need a little bit more experience, like many of the players in his current West Indies team.
Are we getting in a situation here that with some of my mates who love cricket, so hang on, you guys, Cricket Australia, is paying five guys, or six guys, West Indians, to play in the Big Bash and not play in Test cricket. Are we getting to a situation where if the West Indies or other teams that come here cannot have any of their own playing in the BBL so they can support and have a stronger Test team?
Oh, look, I see that argument. We're not paying them not to play in Test cricket. I mean, they have made a decision, as you know.
But the fact is, you're paying them more. Some of these guys are getting paid big bucks compared to actually having a full Test series.
I don't know exactly what the numbers are that they would get paid for the West Indies. They've made lifestyle decisions, they've made career decisions to do that. And you know, I hear this story about some of these guys playing the Big Bash League. The reality is they haven't played Test cricket for three or four years, some of them. And in fact, a couple of them have never played Test cricket.
Yeah.
And when they were in the West Indies team, the West Indies team was still ranked number 8 in the world. So from that perspective, they might be superstars, but they're not necessarily bona fide Test cricket, as a couple of them are. So I don't think we're going down that path. I think there are some more fundamental issues in the West Indies, and not just around talent, but also around structure and governance, that the things that are going to need to be addressed. And I think as a to some extent, we are always very careful to talk about each country sorting out their own sort of sovereign rights status, to do their own things. But at the same time, I think in a general sense, international cricket needs to take a lot more interest in what's happening in the West Indies.
You touched on South Africa coming here next year, and they're scheduled to be the early part of the summer. It's been a stalemate for maybe close to a decade now of South Africa refusing to come here over the Christmas period. Is that any closer to resolution? Is it something that's just in the too hard basket, or is Cricket Australia trying to work to a solution where we can see the South Africans here in our prime period?
I'm very confident that not next year when South Africa tour early in the season, but the next time South Africa tour here, that they'll be playing on Boxing Day.
And in terms of South Africa next year, how far down the track are we to convince them that a day-night test as part of the Test series is a good thing? And as an extension to that, can you confirm that Pakistan, the other nation touring next summer, have ticked off on being involved in a day-night test?
No, I can't confirm anything, unfortunately, Bruce. I'd love to be able to, but certainly we're well down the track in discussions. Zakir Khan from Pakistan Cricket Board attended the first day-night of the Adelaide Test match, was very impressed, and I'm sure he'll take favourable reports back to the Pakistan Cricket Board. And I know South Africa were watching very closely. And I think, on one hand, it's something that we hope is a mere formality for them to play here. But I think really importantly for them, it's something they've got to play at home. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for Pakistan, who can't play in Pakistan but can play in the UAE, to try to attract some more people and a better time zone for Test cricket for television purposes. And in South Africa, where they are struggling with Test crowds, to be able to play, if the lighting's right and the conditions are right, to play day-night Test cricket in South Africa will be a real boon for them.
It was very much an experiment, wasn't it? The day-night game was a magnificent success, but it's still an experiment, and there's still work to be done, I think, on the ball and perhaps the surfaces that you play on. I mean, the pitch in Adelaide was quite grassy, which helped the ball survive and last a bit longer. There's going to be some sort of compromise in still trying to develop a ball that will last on a normal surface as opposed to a grassy one.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. What I've always said about day-night cricket is it's still right time, right place, right conditions. And it will and always has been, because of the nature of the ball and the way that the natural colour of the ball and the fact that you can't dye it pink, means that you do need to manufacture an environment that is good for the ball, and they just about got it right in Adelaide, maybe a millimetre off the top of the pitch grass, and it would have been just about perfect.
Yeah.
I think it was refreshing to see a really good balance between bat and ball, and the batsmen working really hard for their runs.
Absolutely.
James, I had Dino's Rant, sponsored by Harvey Norman, a little bit earlier today. I'm upset you missed it.
How many of those do you have a day?
Just one.
as you want.
I vented a little bit. But I brought out the fact that Cricket Australia parked its ego in the car park, and you had the Argus report. You needed a report to be done, and no doubt would have touched a couple of people within the administration. Well, hang on, we haven't done this right or whatever. And obviously might have upset a few people. West Indies have done three of these in the last 8 years. And the recent one have said that the current administration must be removed and an interim committee must be put in. Just like in commercial terms, that when a company is struggling, they've got to put in an administrator. Are we coming down to that stage, or the ICC coming down to that stage, to help the West Indies governance issues and sovereign issues, as you mentioned before, by having ICC representation if they're going to get money from the ICC to help them go for it? Because the CPL's flying, everything's going really well, but there is some problems about players where they want to play Test cricket for their region in the West Indies.
Yeah, look, I don't think any of us can pretend to understand the complexity of life in the Caribbean in terms of cricket. I mean, we have our challenges with six state associations in England, 18 counties, plus all the minor counties.
There's 16 in West Indies, isn't there?
But yeah, you've got all, and they're different countries, they're different nations, and with different cultural backgrounds and what have you. But at the same time, you know, what I would say is that two things. One is, it's not good enough for international cricket for this sort of context, for contests to be seen. But at the same time, our own experience here in Australia would suggest that through governance reforms and things that we can do to, I guess, improve the game and the way that we operate in a high performance sense. We've seen the benefits of those sort of reforms. And, yeah, you do need to look yourself in the mirror. And as you say, Dino, it was very, very uncomfortable time for all of us. But at the same time, if you can come through that, you're a lot better for it. And it's all about improvement, continuous improvement.
James Sutherland, the Chief Executive of Cricket Australia, has joined us ahead of play on day three, which is just 3 minutes away from getting underway. The Australians have just taken the field behind the umpires, Maria Erasmus and Chris Gaffney. Just a couple of quick ones before we let you go, James. Of course, the Adelaide Test has been the highlight of the summer to date, but the Big Bash has got underway and is flying. 29,000 at the SCG last night. Radio ratings off the scale, TV ratings off the scale. We've seen you put a Christmas night fixture potentially on the agenda moving forward. A quick response to that, whether we can expect Christmas night Big Bash cricket in the future. The expansion of franchises, are we looking to go any further north than the current eight? Or if it stays at the eight, is it possibly going to be a longer season, maybe a 10-game season per team rather than the current eight?
Yeah, oh, look, we're obviously delighted with how the Big Bash League's going. And as you know, Bruce, the strategy behind the Big Bash League is to bring new people to the game. And we're absolutely dedicated to kids, families and females as being our target audience to grow the game and graduate their interest, to firstly spark their interest, but then graduate their interest into international cricket. It's not in any way designed to compromise international cricket. It's there to really keep international cricket, test cricket, one day cricket at the pinnacle, but at the same time to bring new people to the game. So we're thrilled with that. We see demand is a good thing. It creates some really good, difficult questions for us to consider in terms of expansion, teams, number of matches and those sorts of things. And we'll address those in time. I think it will be a very big decision for us to expand the number of teams. So my gut feel at the moment is probably more games to start off with, because I think that particularly in Melbourne and Sydney, where we've got two teams in each of those two cities, we're still establishing fan bases for those two teams.
No Kiwi teams?
Growth. No, that's not on the agenda in the medium term, Dino.
I suppose in the short term then, if you're talking about a Christmas Day fixture, you're talking about the two Melbournes and the two Sydney teams
possibly
playing.
Yeah, possibly to
take the travel equation, which would have to obviously be at Etihad if it was in Melbourne,
or Geelong, Skilled Stadium.
Simmons Stadium.
Oh, Simmons now. Sorry, I've it's been that many different stadiums around the...
Or the MCG.
James, we thank you, as always, for joining us. You're always welcome in the commentary box for Macquarie Radio's Summer of Cricket. No doubt you'll pop in during the Sydney Test, which is next weekend, and let's hope that this encounter pushes on into a day four as well. This will be three-day tests. I mean, we don't mind the three-day test in Adelaide with the spectacular entertainment we saw over the 3 days, but let's hope the West Indies can put up a better fight today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Bruce. Great to be here.
James Sutherland, Chief Executive of Cricket Australia.